The
Northern Soul
Podcast. Hello, it's July's Northern Soul Podcast with me, Lucy McNamara. This month we're talking to Miriam Jones, the Canadian singer-songwriter who's made England her home. We've got music from Of Monsters and Men, The Chemical Brothers and Mamou, but let's turn up Justice versus Simeon and We Are Friends. That Simeon of Justice versus Simeon, who you just heard there, formed at Manchester Uni. I didn't know that actually, but maybe you did. Also, I love this, they upset Kanye West, who hasn't, at the 2006 MTV Europe Music Awards, apparently, as they won Best Video for We Are Friends, quite rightly, and he got on stage and complained that he'd been told he was going to win the award. No one likes a sore loser, Kanye. Someone who's not sore or a loser. Did you notice how clever I was there with that little segue? Is Miriam Jones. Now, she's the subject of this month's Northern Soul podcast. She supported Roddy Frame from Aztec Camera on his UK tour at the end of last year, which she talks about later in the podcast. She's also got a new album out, Between Green and Gone. Now, I caught up with her at Gulliver's before she played there last month. Gulliver's, of course, in the Northern Quarter, opposite the castle.
I fell in love.
It happened on a normal day, out of the blue, just like they say, snuck up on me like a train.
I met my husband in Vancouver when I was living out there, and he's British and was living in Oxford at the time, so we kind of got married and came over, and I've sort of just been, getting the hang of British living, which is a lot, has a lot more nuances to it than I think I had even crossed my mind. Like my parents are from the southern U.S. and they moved up to British Columbia when I was born, so. Then we lived in Calgary and Alberta, and then we lived in Papua New Guinea for a few years, and that was sort of when I was 8, 9, 10. And that was when I kind of remember, well, I definitely wrote my first song when I was in Papua New Guinea, and I just remember a lot of my internal world was really happening at that time. And and after that we came back to British Columbia, but that was a formative experience, I think it's safe to say.
Has that impacted at all on your music now, do you think, that those early days in sort of Papua New Guinea?
I think it does in the sense of, like, say, the internalness of it. Like, I think a lot of people grow up around lots of music and are more external with it, and so they might learn how to play an instrument first, and they're just playing music, and then eventually they go, oh, maybe I should write something. With me, it was always very, it was kind of the other way around. I was really internally driven by it and writing things, and eventually I picked up instruments and stuff, but it was really to so that I could actually complete the songs that I, you know, the things I wanted to say, or the singing and stuff. So I think that's been impactful, and maybe just being a little bit not feeling totally a part of any culture that I was in a way, because I mean, I have Nashville as my mom's background. I was never around it enough to really, you know, let that, to be involved with it. So I was in Nashville a lot, but I was too sort of quite young and stuff. And then obviously the small town we moved to in British Columbia was a beautiful place, but not a lot of arts and stuff. So I wasn't sort of going to pubs and playing and stuff. So I think it made me, again, just strengthened my own sort of voice, I suppose. I was listening to music and stuff, and I know it influenced what I was writing, but I never kind of thought, oh, this should be like this, or I didn't reference a lot of stuff. I just wrote what kind of came out, and yeah.
And then sort of fitted the music around it, would you say?
No, but I wasn't self-conscious about it, I guess. I wasn't aware of what it was that I was doing, like musically, you know, how, like what style it was, or I just, yeah, just wrote what came naturally. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so. But I really loved, like, the sort of some of the 60s, music from the 60s, and the Beach Boys, and you know, the Beatles, all the usual suspects. I usually don't listen to the kind of stuff that I tend to write, because it's more interesting to me to you know, see what other people are doing. I went through a bit of a Cranberries phase when I was like, I was trying to get away from, I was so aware of how, as a sort of female singer-songwriter with a guitar, it's like you're automatically kind of folky or whatever, and I was a bit irritated about that. I didn't want that to be a limitation, and I wanted to be able to sing with a bit more fire, and I think that's come with time a little bit, and some of it has had to do with having a bit of like vocal training as well, but also just going through life and getting those experiences that actually, you know, ignite that stuff. Sarah McLachlan is another person. As a Canadian, you really can't, you know, have grown up in Canada at my age and not really been like very influenced or at least awed by her abilities, especially as a vocalist.
More from Miriam later, but since this is a PRS licensed podcast, let's play some new music. The latest offering from the Bella Union label is Mammut, an all-girl Icelandic five-piece. This is Salt.
Spot the big kids up on the
Thank you. Christmas night, clutch the light, the hell of bright. Above my brother, I'm insane and spine. We smoked the screen to make you what it was to be.
There from the brilliant Bon Iver. I'm Lucy McNamara and this is the Northern Soul Podcast. Coming up, tunes from Natural Born Chillers and the new track from the Chemical Brothers. But let's return to the focus of this month's podcast, the lovely Canadian singer-songwriter Miriam Jones.
Yeah, well, I'm just being, to be honest, like, I mean, I have done gigs and done some house concert tours in the States and stuff with my husband, and that was really enjoyable, but it's just now opening up a little bit with this new album, being able to do more gigs and to have someone to do them with, Simon, who's produced and also played bass. We've been doing most of the gigs together just as a duo, and I mean, it's great because he's seasoned and he knows what he's doing, and he's used to driving all over the place. For me, I'm not used to that, and I definitely have had, I don't so much get nervous before I go on stage, but I wrestle with the actually leaving the house to go on a tour, like to change tack. Just, it feels a bit like being yanked out of something, and I struggle with the things that, you know, feels like you're opening up a world of what's going to happen. You know, not that I think something bad's going to happen, but it's all those things like, well, what room is it going to be? What am I going to eat? What if, you know, am I going to sleep? Am I, you know, all these little things I'm a little bit like,
yeah,
I'm a homebody. Yeah. And so yeah. I kind of, once I'm out and going, it's okay. But I do really struggle with the, like, thinking about doing it before I do it. I find it really hard.
You tore it slowly, and then you told me it was all over. Thought I was cold, but I'll have you know I felt it all over. And I could carry you forever like stone.
In terms of venues, you've obviously played a fair few. The country.
Getting there.
Yeah. What is some of your favourite venues or your favourite venue even?
Well, I tell you, the Green Note in Camden is a lovely space in London. Just friendly. You know, there's people, the people that run it are really friendly, and the people that come, you get a certain amount of local traffic, like people come especially to see gigs there. So they might not know who you are, but they'll still come out. And I think it's hard to get that sometimes. It's one thing getting out people, you know, that know you and stuff, but to get people just going there because they know what kind of music that gets put on and the quality of it and stuff. So, yeah, that's been great. But, I mean, I did a tour with Roddy Frame. Do you know Roddy Frame from the Aztec Camera Band?
Yeah, I've read a bit about your tour with him. Yeah, yeah.
That for me, that was quite momentous in a way because he was doing you know, concert hall type places. So it was my first shot at doing that sort of thing. And really, it's the thing I'm most familiar with. Like, if I was familiar with any kind of venue when I was younger, those
You played the Lowry, did you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Lowry in Salford. That was, like, so cool.
Yeah.
And just very... Because, like I said, I didn't grow up in a place with sort of a live music scene. So I was familiar with playing the local theater, which was a more like a smaller space, a lot smaller, but a same kind of thing with a backstage and, you know, black stage and all that. And so the dynamic felt a lot more familiar. And I just like the it's very civilized, you know, you kind of go and it's quiet. And
in California, there's a bridge that spans the Golden Gate. Somewhere there's a photograph of it strung behind my smiling face. Man, it's so high. Man, it's so wide. From San Francisco to Sausalito, where they started.
Frame, formerly of Aztec, camera there at the end. There will be one last instalment of Miriam later, but it's time now for the July-August gig guide for the Northwest. And actually, I will say, it's a little bit thin on the ground, probably because they're all playing festivals, aren't they? It's festival season. So we'll kick off with Rufus Wainwright. He's playing at the Liverpool Philharmonic on the 13th of July. Bombay Bicycle Club are playing the Liverpool Guild. I haven't got a date for that, but I think it's around the 15th. I think it's the 15th. Jimmy Cliff plays the Manchester Academy on Saturday, the 18th of July. Della May, an Americana bluegrass four-piece, play the Manchester Academy on the 28th of July. I had a little listen to her on YouTube, and she's pretty good. If you like your bluegrass, then that would be one to go to, I reckon. Stereo MCs play the Brudenell Social Club in Leeds, of course, on the 23rd of July. Brudenell Social Club, place I hold dear to my heart. I've told you the story of me falling off the bar stool in the Brudenell Social Club many years ago in previous podcasts, so I don't need to go there again. But suffice to say, that's what I think about when I hear the name Brudenell Social Club. And finally, Badly Drawn Boy plays the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester on July the 31st. He's also in Leeds around that time too. So if you're in Leeds, he's at the Varieties, I think. Not sure of the date, check that out though. And that's the gig guide for July and August.
Keep beats. If you really like to rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats, the funky beats. If you really like to rock the funky beats, the funky beats, beats, rock the funky beats. If you really like to rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats, beats, rock the funky beats. If you really like to rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats. If you really like to rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats, rock the funky beats, rock the beats. Check, 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 this out. Rock the funky beats, beats, rock the funky beats. If you really like to
To the depths in your web, so you take explosive, so get it out. Send your body to flight. Everybody got a target tonight. Everybody come along for the ride. All you studs and your duds and your ladies is fly. Grip the moment like you're gripping the earth. Feel the weight and you're feeling the girth. Now you get it, now you're feeling your worth. Fitness that you used to make when everything used to hurt. It goes, oh. No time to rest. Just do your best. Is not a test. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you go. Hello, gotta make it on time. Brightest star gonna be the guide. Gotta get you to the other side, to where the butterflies and where the peace resides. The first 5 minutes for the 15 of fame. 5 seconds for you saying my name. I'm deadly sharp shooting the game. Gonna hit you in the soul, executioner's aim. Get together and we building a fire. Clear smoke and it's taking us higher. Hands up, everyone is one. If you see yourself making it, you see in the sun. Metropolis on the edge of control. They take our money but they won't take our soul. Fuck that, ain't gonna do it no more. Won't do what we told and we ain't gonna fold. We go low. No time to rest. Just do your best. Here is not a test. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you go. Sleep, can't breathe, can't think, can't sleep, can't breathe, everybody jumping out of their mind, everybody going out of their skins, everybody jumping out of their mind, everybody going out of their skins. No time to rest.
featuring Q-Tip is the latest offering from the electronic duo The Chemical Brothers, who've just released their first album in 5 years. Rapper Q-Tip from a trip called Quest premiered on BBC Radio 1 as Annie Mac's hottest record in the world. I'm a big fan of The Chemical Brothers, and I really love that, actually, so I can't wait to hear more. Before that, it was, of course, Rock the Funky Beats by the Natural Born Chillers. You're listening to July's Northern Soul podcast with me, Lucy McNamara. Now, we've been hearing from the Canadian singer-songwriter Miriam Jones throughout the podcast. Coming up is the last part of my interview with her ahead of her gig last month at Gulliver's in the Northern Quarter of Manchester.
Ready or not, and you never are, I get so far so fast. No bell for the blast, you're holding the light. And already I've burned steady white with rage. Like I've been on fire.
Yeah, well, we've got, so there's a single off the album coming out on, I think it's the 8th of June, and that's called Float. And we've got a few more, we've got some gigs over the summer, some festivals. We're playing Maverick Festival on the 3rd of June, yes, July, 3rd of July, and Greenbelt Festival in August, playing something at the Fringe. So a few things dotted around, and then in September we've got a Borderline gig booked in London. So yeah, just
that's a good venue.
Yeah. So we're trying to follow the yellow brick road, sort of thing.
The normal path.
Well, you know, you kind of you do these things, and you have to be very responsive about it, because you have to kind of do one step at a time and see what kind of feedback you're getting, and it's very. You can't really plan too far ahead, and yet you do have to plan far enough in advance that you can actually book venues and stuff. So, yeah, at least I've got people around me now to kind of help field me through that, whereas for a long time I was just kind of flying solo, so that was not very fun. But I have a manager now who I like very much, and... It's just to have some friends around you that, you know what they're doing and just love music and want to help you succeed, so it's great. Some comfort and sweetness in you. You strike me as something that I could use. And I need you to float home.
You are the only
Of Monsters and Men with their new single Empire from the album Beneath the Skin released last month. Before, they've been the Guardian Band of the Week, where they've been described as a Sunday Smith act. School 94 is who you heard. That was before of Monsters and Men. And they are a four-piece from Scandinavia. A lot of Scandinavian bands at this podcast. Pure indie and likened to the Sugar Cubes and the Cocteau Twins, apparently. So we're coming to the end of July's podcast. Next month, we'll be chatting to the Sheffield band The Clear. I'll be catching up with them in Manchester Library, one of my favourite places in the city. Thanks for joining me, Lucy McNamara, on the Northern Soul Podcast.